Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. My name is Noel Varbon. Tonight we have a little bit of a special because, as I'm sure you're all aware, we've had quite a crazy 24 hours. So we wanted just to basically discuss it as best we can. So with that in mind, I have on the line Mr. Lee Curtin. Hello, Lee.
Good evening.
And I also have Kofi with us again. Kofi, how are we doing?
All good. How are you? Good evening.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. So, I mean, where do we start with this? Like, it was, we had the conversation on the last podcast about Poch's current situation, the club's current situation. We obviously mentioned that it was obvious that he had maybe lost some of the dressing room, that his tactics weren't working to an extent. Or maybe he was making tactically incorrect decisions. We don't know. But I don't think any of us expected it to happen the way it has happened with this announcement last night. But then also not even that. I think the speed of the announcement of Mourinho this morning, it's a little bit fishy, if you ask me, to be fair. I think it's far too quick. It just explains in my eyes that obviously this was happening for a while. There was talk of an argument that Poch apparently had last Friday where he walked out of a meeting with Levy. And, you know, there was obviously fallings out. Things have happened. So it's just an incredibly fun. It's a really, really, really weird situation. And I've tried not to use the analogy of my recent relationship with my ex-girlfriend, but it seems quite similar in that this is my eyes, okay, so bear with me from this one. So we were together for 5 years, very similar. About 18 months ago, there were signs that the relationship wasn't going as it was before. And in the current state, or say a couple of months ago, things weren't great. And I think that can be the same kind of thing, and obviously the romantic in me and the romantic in us has obviously, you know, remembered the good times in terms of the great amazing performances in the Champions League, but the realist will look at the last league performances, maybe the last 20 league performances even, and they will say things weren't good enough, there's something wrong, and is it going to get better? And I think that's the decision that Levy had to make. The issue is whether Levy contributed to that decision being made and whether he made the decision worse or made the situation worse by not backing Poch in the transfer window, not sorting out these contractual situations that obviously there was towards the end of last season with Toby, with Jan, with Christian Eriksen. So I think it's a really, really weird situation for all Spurs fans to be in at the moment. There were definitely some fans that were saying Poch out. I know a few of them, and there were some that were waking up this morning, and they were last night. They were in tears, and so it really is divided, I think, in this one, and it's very, very tough. So Lee, I'm going to go to you first because obviously we've been in touch today on various groups and whatever, and yeah. I think you were sort of the opinion, don't get me wrong, of that you weren't necessarily happy with the situation, but you could see, and I think we could see that there was. Maybe he had lost the dressing room. He wasn't able to motivate the players. And therefore, at that point, what other response or what else could Levy do with that situation? So that's my first point. At that point, that if you were a chairman, no matter what's gone before you in terms of if you hadn't backed him, if you got to that point that you felt that the players weren't playing for Pochettino, that Pochettino wasn't tactically necessarily being able to get these players out of the situation and not getting over games that we should have gone, what would you have done? If you were Levy last night at 7:20 p.m. whenever it happens, what would you have done? Would you have done the same thing?
Before I answer that, I have to say, literally with you, in terms of there's the romantic and there's the realists. And I think what we've had in the last 5 years is a romance. and it's been brilliant. It's been emotional, you know, come along, picked us up when we were just kind of just touching, always on the periphery of the top four, flirted with it a couple of times. Then all of a sudden this guy comes along, picks us up and walks us through the door and keeps us there, you know, and keeps us there, playing some lovely football, you know, bringing him, you know, letting really like kind of pushing Harry Kane clear onto the scene, you know, bringing out a young Dele Alli and making him a household name. And, you know, when you see all that, that's the romance in us. That's the romantic in us. But I kind of with football and watching it, playing it, being involved in it for so long, the realist kicks in. When you look at what was going on from probably as far back as February, you know, I can't get past the fact that the Champions League run kind of papered over a few cracks, especially with our league form, especially with some players not performing to the levels that they should. And the realist says that actually, when you look at the results, something has gone wrong. When you look at his lack of his motivation on the side, he couldn't get those guys going again. Something went wrong. You know, we was playing some expansive football, high tempo football, quick football, and we've seen 45 minutes of that this year. You know, we've seen 45 minutes of it against Palace. That's all we've seen. And it's almost a throwback. But then he went back and tinkered with it again. And then every time, and I was saying to somebody previously, every time we went a goal down, he never filled me with confidence. He looked like he was beaten on the side of the pitch. Didn't matter whether it's the third minute, the fourth minute, 74th minute. He looked the same. As soon as the goal went in, he's like, oh, what are we going to do now? My plan has been blowing out of the water. So the realist in me says, time is up. Time is up. And
would you have made that decision yourself?
Yeah, I would have. But can I just say with you at the start, you said something feels a bit fishy, right? I've said from the get-go, probably not within the group, I'm not too sure, but Mourinho first came onto Sky at the start of the season and he was asked a question while I sat on the panel, and the commentator said to him, who's going to win the Premier League? Or who could win the Premier League? And he said, Liverpool, Man City reserves and Tottenham. And I sat there that day and I was like, why did he use our name? Why did he put our name in his mouth? And that's sat with me since August, that has. And the fact that he's not taking another job, the fact that he's in London, the fact that he's hanging around the Sky Studios, I genuinely think it was down to us and some other lot down the road who blinked first and the job was his. And whatever went on behind the scenes of that Champions League final, Levy had a conversation with Mourinho, and I'll bet money on that. I'll bet money on that. In the summer, Levy had a conversation with Mourinho, and he was very confident. You know, this job ain't a shock to him. This ain't a surprise to him. He was held up in the five-star hotel Tuesday night, and the Pochettino job was all done and dusted, and in he is Wednesday morning. No grand entrance. He's already in the grounds, already there. Come out, meet the players, cracked on. So it was a done deal, mate. It was a done deal. It's just a matter of time before the ink was put on the paper.
It would seem that way. And I've seen some Facebook comments from, like, I think it was about 14 weeks ago on some groups where someone had said, basically, Mourinho, it was already agreed, and Pochettino was going to be gone by Christmas. I don't know whether they thought that was going to be now or you know, whether how far down the line that was agreed with, but that seems, I mean, obviously there's always rubbish posted on Facebook, so you know, but it seemed a little bit strange that kind of comment could have been said with quite a bit of confidence, and now it seems to have come in fruition. So Kofi, what are your thoughts on this? Were you in complete shock last night when you heard the news, or did you sort of half expect it, or what are your thoughts on how it has all sort of unravelled?
Well, certainly it was a surprise if it wasn't complete shock. Absolutely. You know, the results haven't been going well in the league for some time, so it was kind of expected. But the speed of everything, I think, is the thing that's a shock. And there are little things that are sort of leaking out at the moment. So, Leah, you mentioned that the Jose situation's probably been going on for some time and maybe was staying in a five-star hotel. I've heard from a journalist that he was staying in the lodge. He was at Hotspur Way last night.
Yeah.
He was taken there. So I don't know how long it's been happening, but something's been going on in the background for some time. Mm. And outside of that, Poch hasn't been happy for some time. His body language hasn't been great. He's been making comments. Even if you go back to just before the Champions League final, he was talking about, I'm not the manager, I'm the coach. Yeah. If we win, I'm off. That
seemed to be the catalyst for this all, doesn't it? A lot of journalists and reporters are sort of like going back to that. When he said, you know, if we win, then, you know, my time is done here almost. Like, and that in itself, when you talk about leaving a club, then that surely sets something going in the fans' minds, in the players' minds, in the chairman's minds, you know, to think, what is he doing? Like, I didn't see the point for that. That, you know, it was just a strange comment to make. And he has made those strange comments, you know. And so sometimes they can be taken. And it's like, you know, that maybe that was the time. Maybe that was when Levy thought, okay, you know, what's happening here? Because, you know, the results haven't been great. Fair enough, he's got to a situation, but things might need to change. Because if he's saying that, then maybe he's ready to jump ship.
And also, Levy's a proud man. And it did seem strange, as you said, this wasn't the first time, that Poch would come out and almost take the rug from under Levy in a press conference. The situation would be that Levy said you can or you can't do a particular thing in the transfer window. And then Poch in public would say, well, things have to change. We can't continue like this.
Yeah.
How am I expected to get results in this situation? And I'm sure Levy can't have taken those things well. What I do find interesting is that there's been a lot of attention today on Poch, and he didn't do this. He couldn't change things. He wasn't able to stop the team from going stale. But I think actually Levy needs to take some of the blame here, because he has been a factor in creating the situation. Not buying players, not allowing players to leave until he's negotiated the deal, the price, the rate that he wants, has been part of this. It's conspired to create a situation where Poch's role has become untenable. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's all Poch.
I don't think anyone is thinking it's all Poch. And I think that's what a lot of fans' frustration is. And there's a lot of fans that are saying Enoch out now and Levy out. And they have been saying for a while. And I know there's fans on various social media groups that have been saying that for a long time, because they feel that that Levy hasn't backed any of the managers to the extent that other clubs have, considering our financial capabilities. And yes, obviously we spent £1 billion in the stadium, and I completely appreciate that. The stadium's amazing, as Jose's been going on about today. However, you know, there's definitely still more money that should have been put forward to the managers if they have wanted to get to that next level. And it seems that Pochettino was ready to get to that level, but he wasn't given the funds in order to do so. The flip side of that is that obviously the squad was still good enough to get to a Champions League final, maybe very luckily, who knows. But tactically, he was found out a few times, and he just seems to have not shown enough, I think, this season to give Levy confidence, or maybe to give the fans confidence with the current squad, with the current age squad that we seem to have, or the current stale squad, however you want to term it. He wasn't able to turn that squad around. Whether that needs an influx of four or five players in January, quite possibly. Whether Mourinho will be able to do anything with this current squad of players, again, no one knows. However, it just seems that his time, and I sort of agree with this with Lee in that respect, it did see that his time with the current situation that was created was almost untenable. And I get what you're saying there. But I also agree that I think that Levy played a major factor in that, and Enoch did as well, because I think there was times that they could have gone for Bruno Fernandes more. They could have also pushed forward more transfers. They could have broken the bank for Dybala. They could have, you know, there was more that could have been done to support Pochettino in this way. They could have bought fullbacks. They didn't even buy any fullbacks. They went for, they didn't invest in obvious areas that needed recruitment. And it's now come to a situation that we seem to be struggling in, and we're languishing in 14th in the league. And Pochettino has unfortunately seemed to have, been the blunderbuss. Yeah.
I think it's one of those where you look back and everyone keeps saying, you know, around the Champions League final time, you know, especially with Levy and Poch having plenty of conversations. There was a lot of when they stood out on the pitch on that night after Amsterdam, and, you know, the conversations they was having. And all the media homed in on those, going, you know, what would they be talking about? And is it plans for next season? Blah, blah, blah. I want to kind of just pick up on that other point, Noel, which is what I kind of always say to people, again, when it's just the footballer in me or the realist in me. When we got so close so many times and failed, whether it be an FA Cup semi-final, whether it be a League Cup semi-final, when we were second and finished third, when we fell away chasing first, there was just little times there where you wanted to see a little bit of tactical magic, a little bit more. We seem to just struggle with a plan B sometimes. And we also struggle with just taking a gamble. You know, sometimes there are some games where you go, do you know what? Like, chuck Parrott on the other day. Chuck Parrott on. Here he is. You know, he might just fire two quick goals. You know, you're not going to lose nothing. And I found that Poch never actually done that. I found he got caught out a few times and just almost accepted defeat sometimes. So if we can see that, you got to think what's Levy seeing, who sat above him on a weekly basis, 2-3 times a week watching that. And then going, actually, do I chuck a load of money at this? You know, do I chuck a load of money at a player or players, and my manager or my coach hasn't actually got the tactical nous to just get us through a game from time to time? A player isn't always the answer. And I think people need to be very kind of, they need to be made aware of that sometimes. Yeah, the players get out there and do what they do, but sometimes it's a little bit of tactical nous. It's outsmarting the other manager in the way you set out your players. And we got caught out like that. So sometimes when you're asking the man with the big rubber checkbook, if he can bounce a couple of those somebody else's way, he's probably going to look at it and go, yeah, I'm happy to, but probably not you. I don't want you to kind of, I'm not going to have you call the shot. So
yeah, I think there were signs with that. I think
where they banged heads in the end. Yeah. I think that's where they banged heads in the end, because there must be money there. Pochettino came out many a time, said money's there. I just didn't see the players that I wanted.
Yeah.
Good way of covering up a conversation.
I think there are things we don't know about as well, in that Trippier had a fantastic season, a fantastic World Cup, and then had a shocking season. And when he left, he was quite professional about it in a way, in that he wasn't going to divulge, but he did say there are things going on at the club that he's not happy about. Mm. We've heard from Danny Rose about not being happy. And there's certainly some sort of malaise in the club, and we don't know quite what it is. And, you know, I love Poch, but maybe Poch is part of that in some way. You know, maybe he wasn't doing anything different in training. He wasn't giving them new ideas. He wasn't telling them how to unlock a team that's sitting eight men behind the ball and you know, with us passing the ball on the halfway line. Maybe there were things that people at the club had seen where they thought, actually, this guy's not going to take us to the next level. And saying that, it doesn't take away from what you guys had said earlier, and the fact that we've had a wonderful romance for 5 years. You know, some fantastic moments, some great football, and absolutely, Poch has taken us to another level.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, yeah, that's the why I think this whole sort of like 24 hours has been so weird, because we all cried our eyes out in Amsterdam. Well, I know I did. And, you know, I went to Barcelona and I went to Madrid, and, you know, these were all amazing experiences, obviously Man City as well. And it was incredible. And, you know, and you're exactly right in terms of where he took us from, to where we are now, established in the top four, is 100% down to him. And obviously he bought the players, Levy bought the players, and he worked on the players and he made those players, and he's made those players better, I believe. And he should have 100% credit for that. But I completely agree with Lee in terms of, I think it was probably the Juve at home match where his tactics were sometimes questioned in terms of when they made that substitution, which obviously changed the game. He didn't react until it was too late. And that, for me, was a sign. I think the Man United semi-final was another one. Just didn't have enough. Took the lead, didn't have enough, didn't kill out the game. You know, there are certain ways that you can kill out games. There's certain ways that you can have better game management than he's shown. And I think we have experienced that. And I think we did get lucky in the Champions League. You know, I'm honest enough to admit that, you know, it was an amazing achievement. And, you know, that those games were incredible. And the luck ran out, unfortunately, in the final. But we did get lucky. So, you know, we didn't dominate those games as we would have liked to. We didn't deserve to win either of those games, I believe. And so, you know, that's not tactical now. So that's not tactical, like, you know, amazing. That's getting lucky. And, you know, obviously you need luck in football, don't get me wrong. But you also need to rely on having some tactical awareness. And I think it was lacking to a degree, which is frustrating, because he was so loved and obviously the players loved him. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of man management, you're probably not going to get any better. And in terms of getting the best out of certain players, again, you're probably not going to get any better. But that doesn't mean that when you put those players on the pitch, if you don't put them in the right way, and if you don't put the right ones on the pitch, and if you don't get them playing in the right formation, you're going to win anything. And that, I think, is the key, is that, yes, he was an amazing manager, an amazing man manager, but when it came to tactics and maybe even selection/formation, he wasn't the best. And I think that's the most frustrating thing, I think, for me, because he's taken us this far, and he would have loved to have taken us further. I completely agree, and we would have loved for him to take us that further, but I just don't think he had that nous to take us to that next level. When it came to the crunch moments, like the semi-final against Man U, like the quarter-final against Juve, I think it was frustrating. So,
I think it was the one against Chelsea as well. Left back or something.
Oh, man, I forgot about that one. Jesus, that was horrendous. Yeah, oh, man, I completely forgot about that. That's so true. That was the first. That was before Juve.
That was the season
before.
So, like you say, I'll echo everything you said there, and he's taken us, and we loved what we've seen. And I just think it's grey. I think the skies were grey today, because I think had an Allegri walk through the door, or had an Eddie Howe walk through the door, 75-80% of the fans are going, okay, I'm bang on this. You know, I'll get behind this project today, right now. We've just got a character that has come through the door that fans are not too sure about, and that's the problem. And therefore we feel like Poch has been treated badly. Kofi alluded to the way we dealt with Martin Jol, you know, wasn't great. And they're just likable guys, they're likable characters, and they've brought us out of deepest, darkest football when we've been stuck, and brought us into a nice new era and lightened up our football lives again. So we feel that they probably need a better send-off. And that's the romantic in us again. You know, we needed to give them a better send-off. We didn't want to shaft him over. And we feel like he's been shafted over. And we feel like this geezer that not 100% everybody's behind has walked through the door. And that's the problem. That's why it's a bit dark today. But you know what? We have to hold back on that, and we have to see what this brings. And there's a mob down the road who done something very similar, right? They bought this massive new stadium. I mean, it still remains half empty most times, but they bought this new stadium and had this team, and that guy who used to look after them, he nurtured them through with youth players and older players, and they stayed and they stayed and they stayed, and they became stale, and they've become rather mediocre for the most part. And most of their fans, or their honest ones, will tell you that as well. And I think it's another reason why a season or half a season into this new stadium, this is another reason why Levy's pulled the plug and gone, actually, we're not going to let this whole thing go stale. Have a look around you. You've still got Kane. You've still got Son. You've still got Ali. You've still got Ndombele. You know, you've got some players in there still, and it's worth building on. So if this guy comes in, he comes in with positive ideas, I think we could just kind of go, okay, well, let's ride out this next 2.5-3 years. It's got to transition. We're just not sure about the person who's transitioning us, but yeah, it has to transition. That's all. But big love to Poch from all of the Spurs base fan bases. You know, we thank him from the bottom of our hearts for what he's done for us. So, you know,
I mean, it's just so weird because I've never been a massive Mourinho fan. You know, I find his interviews sometimes quite amusing. He's obviously incredibly successful. People are going to sort of judge him weirdly on his Man United performance, which obviously, you know, he got quite a lot of money. He obviously had clashes with players, but he won 2 trophies. So it's like, He's gonna command and he's gonna get respect from the dressing room, which I think is important. And he is a proven winner, no matter what anyone says. So I think people that were talking about Eddie Howe coming in, I could never see Levy going for Eddie Howe, just because what's the point in that? You know, it's just like it would be starting from the beginning almost again. I think it would be a backward step. You know, and I'm not saying Mourinho is the best coach in the world at all, but I think that he is hopefully going to instill some real confidence and winner's mentality in this team. And I mean, I felt like I was like being duped, like brainwashed when I saw his interview earlier on. I was like, damn, man, he's going on about us having the best stadium in the world, us having the best like training ground in the world. And I'm thinking, oh
young
man,
players.
I feel like I'm flipping watching some like you know, political debate, and I'm now suddenly going to vote Tory. I'm like, what the hell? Like, Jesus, slapping yourself out of it. But it was strange, and you know, maybe he's going to have that influence, you know, on the team as well. And it's going to be really, really interesting. I think the next few days and weeks and months, it's going to be really, really interesting. I think it's also going to be interesting to see if he's backed in January, because before he's obviously worked with huge budgets, and you know, we just don't know that situation. We knew that Pochettino liked to work with small squads, so there was definitely an in and out mentality. And I think, as we've spoken about before on the show, the fact that they weren't able to get rid of Eriksen and Alderweireld and whoever else they wanted to go, Rose, Aurier, that there wasn't that sort of like, oh, well, let's go out and buy some more then, because he didn't want that and he's never wanted that. And so maybe he was the architect of his own downfall in that respect, because he didn't want a bigger squad or an expanded squad, and they couldn't get rid of these players, and therefore they weren't getting him in. So it's a really, really interesting one. I'd love to know more about the situation, but unfortunately, obviously, we don't have inside info to that. But it's going to be a really, really interesting few months.
Not until the Amazon documentary comes out, then.
God! Well, that just doesn't. I just don't. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to know about that. Enough. It's magic, you know. So we got our first preview, our first Mourinho preview, which is very, very strange, because normally at this time we talk about Poch's selection, how he's left Carl Walker-Peters in the dark. Does this mean Carl Walker-Peters is suddenly going to come out of the dark? And like, you know, I mean, do you think, because Carl Walker-Peters wrote something on Instagram yesterday saying, thank you, you know, Gaffer, for, you know, sorting me out, all that. I'm like, mate, what's all that about? Like, he's been ghosting you for the past like 2.5 months. Like, you know, Don't be all nice to him. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. Like, you know, he should have been saying, yes, Jose, welcome, bro. let's go party. That would have been my vibe. No, I'm joking. But it is going to be interesting to see what happens. It's oh, man. I mean, I didn't fancy the game before, to be fair, in terms of obviously it's West Ham's cup final. They absolutely hate us and we're away in the absolute dive that is a London stadium. So I don't ever fancy going there. I didn't like to go there in the current situation that we're in. I'm probably a little bit more confident now because I think there was more pressure on Pochettino and the team in the previous state. So I think now Mourinho and the new Spurs have almost got like not a free rein, but I think there's probably less pressure on the team than there was if Pochettino was in charge, which I think can only help us. The weirdest thing is I've literally just seen something online. I've seen Mourinho training with the team and it's freaked me out. I swear to God, he's wearing the purple top. He's talking to everyone. It's just, oh man, to go back to the girlfriend analogy, I feel like I've just watched my girlfriend like snogging flipping Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV. It's like, it's not, can't get my head around it. It's so weird. How has it happened so quick? I'm like, man, at least give us a bit of respite. It's like, you know, go on Bumble for a couple of months. You know, you don't have to just straight back in and get next man. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like. It feels like she's just done this to me. Anyway, it's just not about my relationship. We are talking about football matters now. I'm digressing. So let's talk about the game. So, right. So Lee, let's talk about selection. Mourinho obviously is normally quite defensive minded. In terms of formation, what does he normally go for? And what differences do you think you're going to be able to see from the Poch previous selection and performance and formation that you are going to get from Mourinho?
Do you know what? It's a bit of a mystery because I was trying to think back to the way he wrapped up at United in the end, really.
Anti-football. People were saying anti-football.
Anti-football. There was all sorts going on there as well. And I think he just had... you got a few characters as well. You got your Pogba and stuff floating around, and I think some of those players just didn't deliver or just do what he wanted them to do, and or were capable of it. And I think that's what it comes down to with Mourinho: is are you capable of doing what I'm asking you to do? Now I'm kind of looking at it. I think that he plays relatively safe. I don't think he goes anti-football. I think he secures us though. I can almost see I almost still see a 4-5-1 with Kane up top and then the two guys playing off him, which may well be the Celso and Sonny. And then after that, expect it to be quite defensive. But what I expect to see is probably household names back in there, if you like. You know, providing everyone's fit, I would almost expect to see Rose back in. I'd expect to see Toby and Jan, if he's fit, back in the middle. There's part of me that probably thinks Eriksen might even pop up. You know,
Your favourite.
I think you'll see a lot of household names. I think you see a lot of names where the boys have all been questioned. You know, your Toby, your Jan, your Eriksens, and all the boys that have got contract issues. There's part of me that hopes they play. There's a part of me that hopes they play because nobody's ever said that they're not capable. But I'll tell you what it will do. They'll come out and they'll be absolutely lifted and transformed. And that will speak volumes. That will tell a lot of what's been going on in that dressing room, whether we like it or not. So, I couldn't call it, but I would expect every kind of main name that we've got will be on that pitch. There'll be no surprises. I think maybe Parrot on the bench will be as expansive as it gets.
Cool, fair enough. And in terms of predictions, before I go to Kofi, what we're thinking?
Fancy it, mate. Fancy it. I'm a bit like you. I didn't fancy it before, but I fancy it. I fancy 3-1.
3-1?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Mine's just going in. Okay, yeah. Kofi, what are you saying? What are your thoughts?
It was definitely going to be a high-pressure game 24 hours ago, without a doubt. I think now, pressure's off a little bit. There's a new manager in. as Lee's saying, there are players that are going to be playing to show what they're made of, playing for Mourinho to keep them in the team, playing possibly for a new contract. You don't know. You don't know what's going through the player's mind. But certainly, they'll have a weight off their shoulders. There's a new regime. It's a new start. So where I was a bit trepidatious about the weekend, thinking it's the wrong team to play in a high-pressure game, actually, I think we can be really positive about it. Overall, I think I would like Jose to surprise us. Absolutely, he's going to be steady. He's probably going to play two defensive midfielders. But I'd like him to surprise us and let the guys run free up front. You know, as Lee was saying, obviously, Harry's going to be up top, but put Son, possibly Moura in behind him, get the guys running, get some attacking going on. You know, let's see if he can be the manager that we'd like him to be at Tottenham. I don't know, maybe it's the romance creeping in again over the head. But let's say head over heart, there's going to be two defensive midfield players playing. Hopefully it'll be steady. West Ham are going to have a go at us. They love having a go at us. They're at home. So it's going to open gaps and it's going to allow us in. And prediction-wise, I'll go for 2-1.
2-1. Okay, all right. Well, you know, I've obviously got 2-1 to it, so I'm going to go with that as well. So yeah, I do think we're going to be in a better position than before. Something that we haven't mentioned is the coaching staff that are now going to be joining the club, and this is a really interesting one. So, Joe Sacramento and Nuno Santos are joining. Joe Sacramento is. One person said he was 29, one person said he's 30-year-old. So I'm reading here on BBC that he is 30 years old, and he was a coach at Lille, who finished second last season in the French League, and very, very highly regarded, but only 30 years old. And that's a really interesting one. The other interesting thing is that Mourinho has been appointed as the head coach and not the manager. And apparently this is hopefully or potentially opening the doors to Luis Campos, who is Lille's sporting advisor and a close friend of Mourinho's. And apparently he potentially might be stepping up as a sort of sporting director role if Mourinho is going to be the head coach in terms of transfers and stuff like that. So that's an interesting one, I think, and something to mention. The other thing, I was reading the Standard today on the way home, just talking about the general sort of position that we were in last season, which I think has had an effect on the situation today. So this is an article by James Ollie, who is the ghostwriter of Clive Allen's book, which I'm going to be interviewing tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to meeting Clive tomorrow and discussing all of today's and yesterday's events. So he's basically saying as many as 11 players and were made available towards the end of last season. They included Serge Aurier, Danny Rose, Toby Alavero, Christian Eriksen. We struggled to find a buyer for Aurier, meaning that we didn't pursue the Napoli right-back, Elsad Hajzaj. Rose refused to leave while we priced out Alavero and Eriksen. So that sounds about right in terms of, I think I've heard rumours that they priced out both quite dramatically. Obviously, Alderweireld was available for 25 million with his contract, but Eriksen, I was told, was put a crazy, crazy price on. So, quickly on those two little bits of news, the coaching staff. Had you heard of these guys before, Lee? Sacramento, the 30-year-old who's, you know, makes us look incredibly old.
Yeah, well, talk for yourself, mate.
Wow, sister.
No, I funny enough, I watched an article that Sky News covered about Luis Campos near the start of the season, actually. And yeah, he would be a massive addition as the sporting director. I mean, I don't particularly rate Pepe, the geezer down the road, But he is one of his finds, along with Mbappe, Yamas Rodriguez, and a few others. So he's actually he's quite famous for the players that he sold, he's found and sold on. They now exceed 500 million in value, five or six of the players that he's found alone. So, you know, with that kind of talent spotting, he'd be a good addition. But he, in his current role at Lille, he also overlooks the coaching team. He's put the coaching team together. So, you know, I think he's... I hadn't heard of him until I watched that article, I'll be honest. But if he's at the helm and he's at the top, then I think they could be good additions. He appears to have a good eye for talent. You know, and if his talent spotting is as good for coaches as it is for players, then... You know, it can't do us any harm. And if he's finding them firsthand, that suits Levy, doesn't it? Because he's not going out and paying the top dollar from the get-go. He's getting them nice and young and nice and early and nice and cheap. So with a huge sell-on value. So, you know, with him at the helm, we'll probably pay off the stadium in 3 years.
So. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, Fee, to finish with you.
I don't know much about them, really. I haven't... heard much about the guys that are coming in, but Lille are doing well in France, certainly, and also if they've already got a connection and some sort of relationship with Jose, then that's a good thing. And if it can, you know, bring about some stability in a way where a sporting director is consistent, and if anything does go wrong, then someone else comes in and that person stays in their position, then that can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a really, really interesting week, few weeks, few months, and potentially even years. So we shall see. We shall see. Well, thank you very much for joining me tonight, gents. So thank you very much, Lee, and thank you very much, Kofi. It's been an emotional roller coaster for us all, but all of us on the show would really, really like to pass on our thanks to Pochettino and his coaching staff for 5 years of real, real joy. It's been amazing to have you take us to where we are today, and some amazing, amazing memories on the way, amazing trips away, amazing performances, and we really, really appreciate everything that you've done for the club, and we do wish you well in your future endeavours. And so on to our next chapter. So we are the Thing I Love Most show. We are available on all the social media channels, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. As I said, I am meeting Clive Allen tomorrow, so we're going to be having a feature video on YouTube very, very soon, so I hope you check out for that. And thank you very much for listening once again, and as always, come on you Spurs.